Hello. Welcome to Rental Property News. I'm Heather Anderson. Let's get started on our top story this night. It comes from Global Property Guide. This is a website that orchestrates and organizes a lot of data through economists and people that look at reports to facilitate a report to try to create trends. As you can see, this report came out May 30th, 2025. It only has an annual report, the next one coming out May of 2026. Let's look at the team who built it. Tamalia Nasubikova. I don't think I've ever said that word. That name. Talia leads the market analysis for key countries across Europe and the Middle East. She has 8 years of experience of international real estate research and advisory. Lelaine Delmindo, she's been part of the team since 08. She focuses on housing and macroeconomic trends in Asia and Latin America. She holds a degree in business economics. Katerina Shubina, she's the rental yield analysis. She specializes in tracking, updating rental yield data across global cities. She has a master's degree in applied economics. Kinnert Kumar, he's responsible for accuracy and presentation of all published content on Global Property Guide. He has an important job. They all do, but that one seems pretty tedious to me. Meek Kamat, he advises prospective buyers on where and what to buy, helping them evaluate countries, cities, and listings that match their goals. He has experience pretty much across the world. We have Marco. He helps analyze trends. And we have Matthew Montagu Pollock. He's been with the company also since 2006. He's no longer active, but he had a mission to bring clarity to the world's property markets. Thank you for your service, Matthew. So if we go back to our report here, it says sales and rental segments of the American housing market are stabilizing with moderation and price signaling broader market adjustment driven by persistently elevated mortgage rates and cautious buyer behavior against the background of heightened macroeconomic uncertainty. The extended overview from Global Property Guide covers key aspects of the U.S. housing market. So it's saying housing market prices are beginning to stabilize, signaling a broader market adjustment shaped by persistently high mortgage rates and increasingly cautious buyer behavior. Already said that. While home values continue to appreciate, the pace of growth is moderating. The S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller Index, most widely followed benchmark of U.S. home prices reported a 3.88 year-over-year increase in February of 2025. Well, let's take a look at what that is. The S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller U.S. National Home Price Index, CSUSHPINSA. There will be a test on this later. You can find this at the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. That's fred.stlouisfed.org. They have this graph and many other wonderful graphs. And I just wanted to show you, they've been tracking real estate growth since 1987 to 2025 presently. As you can see, look, I don't know what this is called an index. Okay, on your y-axis and your x-axis is your year. I don't know what this y-axis means. It says 2000 equals 100. Is that purchase price? I don't know. But look, bottom line is all you need to know is it goes up. Look, it always goes up and to the right. You see, always goes up and to the right. Always in this whole time it's been watching the data, even in a 10-year data, okay, you can see it always goes up and to the right, even when COVID happened, which was like right there, okay. We can see interest rates as well. This is from 1982. I asked it to go to 1987 just so we could get apples to apples. But again, you can see that they're $1.86. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. This is the Fed funds rate. So you can see that they went down. Interest rates have gone down. prices have gone up. Does that look like a good deal to you? So when people complain about high interest rate, yes, it's higher than the Great Recession when the Fed funds rate was almost zero and less than one, but it is still way less than the entire period from 1987 to 2002, 15 years. And this goes all the way back to 1982. So let's just see. Yeah, they were even higher in 1982. So be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you say, because in order to prepare for the future, we must first learn from the past. And I went ahead and pulled up the S&P 500 100-year historical chart, although we're just going to look at the last 50 years to try to keep an apples to apples to the 1987 metrics that we had on home prices raising. As you can see, the stock market from 1987, just for apples to apples. Again, don't know what this y-axis is, okay? But I guess I'm just being honest that I'm a real estate investor. I'm the host of this show, and I don't know what the y-axis means, and it's okay, okay? If you do, wonderful. But I want to show you that we don't know everything as rental property investors. I've never looked at a chart, at least for the first 10 years I started investing, probably at least 10, maybe a little less than that. Okay. Maybe, but at least 5. But as you can see, you're just looking that it goes up and to the right. And even when things were quote unquote bad, see, it was temporarily bad. They always in time goes up, real estate and the stock market. This is an interesting trend. We can look at Bitcoin. It's only been calculating it since 2019, but it was $10,000 in 2020, September 11th, 2020. That was almost 5 years ago. And, today it's 109,000 ish. So yeah, that's gone up 11x. It's not a bad deal. This is a new world blockchain, and Bitcoin actually started before that. So in 2009, it was 10,000 before that. You know, 10 years before that, in 2010, it was probably, I don't know, a few hundred. And then even before that, in 2006, when it launched, it was like pennies. But everything goes up. So even in 2025, when rates are high, when things are too expensive to buy. Yeah, even in 2025 when things feel too expensive to buy. Let's move on to our next article. This is from Property Wire. This was a great read. Really enjoyed learning from Mr. Chris Dietz, president of Leading Real Estate Companies of the World. That's the name of the company, Leading Real Estate Companies of the World. Article title, Investing in Real Estate in 2025, Adapting to Challenges and Seizing New Opportunities. I'm going to give it a read because trust me, my dear friends, it's worth the time. He wrote it very well, and I just agree with pretty much everything he says. I want to know what you agree with, though, because as we know, in rental property investing and in any investment pathway or vertical that you choose to put your time, treasure, and talent in, my dear friend, you will find that sometimes you agree with the author, the speaker, the host, and sometimes you don't. And that is okay, because there is an investment that is right for all. Investments are right for someone. Not all investments are right for everyone. And because you're an individual, unique, there is nobody like you, before you, after you, ever to be like you on earth, ever, then you get to decide what you are going to do with your one wild and precious life. And speaking of time, treasure, and talent, let's take a quick look at how you can give. If you like what we're doing here, consider being our 68th subscriber on Rental Property U on our YouTube channel. That's how you could give us your time, my dear friend, as we continue to build more videos for you. And if you'd like to give your treasure or your talent, reach out to us on our website, rentalpropertyu.com, and check on freeconsult.com, and you can click there and submit something and tell us about your unique talent and see if you can help us build this movement, this rental property investing movement, this modern, fresh take on the age-old business as we build community and make it fun and get to the truth, as I know Charles Dietz is trying to do. So in his article, he says, in 2025, real estate remains one of the most attractive avenues for wealth creation, a time-tested pillar of financial stability in an increasingly unpredictable world. Yet navigating the market has never been more nuanced. Rising interest rates, shifting buyer priorities, and the ever-evolving influence of technology have created a landscape both ripe with potential and riddled with challenges. Yes, true on that. As the dust settles from the volatility of recent years, investors find themselves asking not only where to invest, but how to do it wisely in this new normal. Real estate has always been prized for its tangible value. Unlike stocks or cryptocurrencies that exist in the abstract, property offers the comfort of brick and mortar, a physical asset that rarely vanishes overnight. Over the past decade, the U.S. housing market has delivered an average annual appreciation of 5.8%, reinforcing its reputation as a long-term safe haven for wealth generation. But real estate is not just about stability anymore, my dear friend. It's also about understanding the undercuts shaping local and global markets. Blindly banking on historical trends won't cut it in a world that increasingly values adaptability and foresight. Is he talking about blockchain? Is he talking about all the crazy new world we're about to enter in? Maybe. Investors have started to look beyond major metropolitan areas in search of untapped opportunities. The pandemic's legacy of remote work has fundamentally shifted where people choose to live, fueling growth in secondary cities and suburban hubs. Cities like Austin in the United States or Manchester in the United Kingdom are thriving, driven by a demand for affordable housing paired with a better quality of life. Global investors, too, are tuning in, turning into mid-cities, attracted by the potential for higher yields and lower entry costs compared to traditional powerhouses like London or New York. This is not to say that these similar markets are risk-free. Liquidity concerns and slower transaction speeds can temper enthusiasm, but they are undoubtedly becoming critical nodes in the investment map. Another undeniable trend is the growing emphasis on sustainability. Real estate developers are increasingly integrating green technologies and eco-friendly certifications into their projects, not just to node to environment consciousness, but as a value add for generation of eco-aware buyers thinking about the future. Good point. Properties built with energy efficiency in mind are commanding a premium. This shift underscores the importance of staying ahead of consumer demands. It's not enough to buy and hold anymore. Investors need to think about long-term value, and that increasingly involves properties that align with social and environmental trends. Yet, it would be naive to ignore the hurdles. Interest rates remain one of the biggest stumbling blocks for many investors in 2025. While rates have slightly stabilized compared to the hikes in 23 and 4, the cost of financing remains relatively high. Cutting margins and making it harder for new entrants to break into the market, a seemingly 1% increase in interest rates can add hundreds of dollars to a monthly mortgage payment, reshaping the economics of an investment. Those who lean heavily on debt to fund their purchases are finding it harder to justify their returns. Regulatory challenges also loom large in some cities. He goes on to talk about that globally. So, in conclusion, 2025 is much about understanding people as it is about numbers, how they live, where they want to go, and what they value. Whether you're considering fractional ownership in luxury properties, a suburban rental property portfolio, a green certified urban development, the key to approach it is with eyes wide open. There's no such thing as a sure bet, but with the right mix of research, adaptability, and a little patience, real estate can be in the cornerstone of a successful investment strategy. So Charles Dietz, president, global operations, leading real estate companies of the world, I want you to notice he lives in Paphos, Cyrus, which is in Cyprus, which is in Greece. And his About Me section looks like it's written in German. So I want you to pay attention to that because he deals with Europe. See, he lived in London. He never lived in the United States. He looks like he worked in Germany. Okay. Project manager, international assignments, German Department of Defense. So listen, you've got to take what he says with a grain of salt. Why I agree with his article is because I like this last section. Okay. Because there's opportunity, there's options. He calls out several pathways you could take. And the fact that people want real estate because it's tangible. But if he has a perspective of green property, is that really what is your tenants' needs? If you're investing in Greenbow, Alabama, where Forrest Gump is from, or if you're investing in Utah, or if you're investing in Midlothian, Texas, where they filmed the hit TV show, The Chosen, maybe not. Who's going to know that information better than Mr. Chris Dietz? My gut is somebody in your local market, a local market area expert. So what you do when you read articles like Chris Dietz's well-read, well-constructed, orchestrated articles, you take it with a grain of salt. That's a macro level lens. Where are you in this game, my dear friend? What game are you playing? Are you a micro or a macro player? Okay. We believe our audience is mainly micro players. That's someone that just needs 4 or 5 rental properties in their portfolio to become a millionaire. If you think that's not enough for you, well then, hey, let's start with your first 4 and get you to be a millionaire with your rental property portfolio, and then we'll grow from there. But we just focus on that first million. And if you're in there, great. And if you grow past it, great. What matters is you're in your right lane, doing your right thing, taking the right advice from the right people in the right way, in the right strategy at the right time. And the company that he runs, I pulled up their LinkedIn profile. They do have a Chicago office, and I was reading about their firm. And honestly, me as a real estate broker, it sounds great. I wish I knew about this resource. As a real estate broker and as a rental property investor, as a real estate agent, because it looks like they do offer some cool thoughts. But moving on to Minority Mindset Clips is our next story on Rental Property News, this episode, this show. And he says, watch before you invest in a rental property. He said, buy smart. Okay. And if you'd like to visit him, he has some free giveaways in this YouTube video, and let's see what he says.
And buy a rental property, the first thing you want to do is look at a bunch of different properties. You got to look at least 10 properties before you make an offer on one, because if you're just starting off, you're not going to know what a good location is or what a good property is or what a bad one is. And so you want to just start walking through homes and start walking through neighborhoods. One of the easiest things that you can do to determine if a property is in a good location or a bad location is just walk the neighborhood, walk through the streets. Is there something nice? Are the homes boarded up? Are they burned down? Or is it nice? Are your neighbors taking care of the landscaping? Is there money coming into the area, or is the money in businesses moving out? There are 3 big things that you want to look at when it comes to finding a good neighborhood or a good city to invest your money in: crime, the flow of money, and the city laws. There are a bunch of tools on the internet that is increasing. That's not a good sign, because when you buy a property, this is something you're owning for the long term, right? When you're investing in real estate, this isn't a 6-month play or a 1-year play. You're investing in real estate for a long time, because you're gonna own this property and you want this to pay you rent for years into the future. And if you're buying a property in an area on the verge of a downturn, then your investment is gonna be more of a headache than it is a cash cow. When you're looking at the flow of money, what you wanna pay attention to is, are businesses coming into this area, this neighborhood, and the city where you're investing, or is money flowing out? The easiest way you can determine this is just by going to your city hall and asking them what new developments are coming in and what new building plans do they have for that area. If they don't have much, or if you see that this building development is going kind of somewhere away from where your property is, that's not a good sign. This one is huge. I was in contract to buy a home, and I went to the city, and they told me that there was this vacant plot of land that was nearby the home that I was buying, and Walmart was coming in, and they had plans to develop a Walmart supercenter. That was good news for me, because that told me that money was flowing here. If Walmart was willing to open up a store less than a mile from my property, that means there's gonna be more jobs coming. That means there's gonna be more retail stores coming, because anytime you see a Walmart supercenter pop up, that means you're gonna have more stores pop up in front of it and on the side of it, because Walmart drives a lot of traffic. So if there's a lot of money coming in that area, that means property values are probably gonna go up. rental values are probably going to go up because there's going to be more demand for that area because there's more jobs and more businesses coming. So is the money flowing to the area or out? Because if the money's flowing in, then you can buy this property today and you can expect rent prices to hopefully continue to go up because now there's more money and jobs coming into that area. And then you want to take a look at the individual city laws itself, because what you're going to see happen is some cities are more tenant friendly and some cities are more landlord friendly. A tenant friendly city is going to make it very hard for you as a real estate investor or a landlord to kick out a tenant that's taking care of a property or that's not paying you rent. And so you want to pay attention to that, because if you are investing your money, you want to be in a city that is more landlord friendly, ideally, because if somebody is not paying you rent, you want to have the ability to kick them out without facing a whole bunch of roadblocks and a bunch of hurdles. Another thing you want to pay attention to when
Spreet, thank you for your thoughts. What do you feel, friend, right now? Do you feel a little overwhelmed? I feel a little overwhelmed just listening to all those things that I'm supposed to find out. And I'm thinking, if I'm a new investor, I don't know. I got to find out the crime. Got to find out what businesses come in and what does it mean. I got to find out what the city laws are. Okay, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't even know where to do all that. Maybe at the end he tells you, hey, come to our class and we'll teach you. Maybe there's an upsell here. I don't know. But again, just like we learned with Chris, you got to take Jaspreet's thoughts as a grain of salt, okay? With a grain of salt. There we go. That's the saying. Because there's a lot of variables here. There's a lot of barriers here for you to be able to get started and move ahead. If you don't get all these things right or wrong, whatever that even means, are you going to not be successful? Absolutely not. You will be successful if you hold your portfolio long enough, no matter what happens. How do I know that for sure? Because I know this is true. That's why. This is an average of America. This takes into account every single rental property. I'm sorry, every single property in the United States since they started storing data on the CoreLogic Case-Shiller U.S. National Home Price Index since 1987. Every single property. And so every single property's gone up. It doesn't talk about what the crime statistics are. It doesn't talk about what the flow of money is. It doesn't talk about the city laws. Every property on average went up. So would your property have gone up? Yeah, because of inflation alone, okay? But appreciation would also go in. The mortgage would be paid off, which would have cash flow. If you own a property since 1987, no matter what market, city, county, township, town, you bought it in America, that property value would be more 1,000% guaranteed every situation. Well, okay, I'm sure somebody can debunk me on the World Wide Web saying, oh, well, there's one in a gazillion example. But the reality is it's very unlikely. And you're going to be okay. So take what Jaspreet is saying with a grain of salt. I think what he's trying to do, in my observation, is quantify answers to these questions that everybody has when they start rental property investing or as they grow their portfolio, because everybody wants a air quote good property. And how do you quantify that? Well, at the end of the day, you need to work with a market specialist that specializes in rental property investing. If you don't know who that is, you can go to Bigger Pockets and they offer an agent finder, okay, that'll help you figure out who your agent is.
Are you looking to protect your...
Oh, goodness. Sorry, that was on the video before. But Bigger Pockets agent finder, or you can go to NARPM, National Association of Property Managers, look for a property manager there, or find a property manager in the area. They absolutely help rental property investors. So that's one way to help curb if you're feeling anxiety and fear and like you're never going to figure this out, or what are you going to do, or how do you get started? Because the key to getting ahead is getting started, my friend. And let's move on to the armchairtrader.com. Putting your trust in bricks and mortar. border. Okay, now this is about the United Kingdom. So why would we bring up an article outside of the United States? Well, because again, going to Jaspreet's macro level perspective, as well as Chris's, it's good to just have a little bit of an idea on what's going on in the world. First of all, what does that do? It helps us understand that even if we think the sky is falling over here in America, hey, maybe other countries are dealing with that too. United Kingdom is a global leading power, just like the United States. And there are challenges there, just like there's challenges here. But if I were to ask you, hey, would if you could buy a rental property in London, England today, would you buy it? Most people would say, yeah, they would. Okay, they would. So not knowing any other piece of data. Okay, and the point is because, look, property value always goes up. We know that. Okay, so this article says, as ever, the UK housing market presents both challenges and opportunities for investors looking to invest in housing while not tying up their money into bricks and mortar and not quite ready for tokenization of real estate, which we'll get to what that is in a second. Rising interest rates and inflation have to an extent dampened house prices and reduced transaction volumes, but the UK has for many years suffered or perhaps benefited from the investor's viewpoint from structural undersupply of housing coupled with strong demand for rental properties. So look, they're dealing with the same thing we are, rising interest rates and inflation. Okay, well, listen, we know property values always go up and we know that interest rates have come down, okay, since the 80s. They might shoot up again, but even though they're quote unquote higher than we've known them for the last decade, they're still low comparatively. Property values always rise. So you could just accept the fact that you're going to play the long game, which is what rental property investing is, and it's all going to work out, my dear friend. But a new pathway, if you don't want to own the brick and mortar, tokenization of real estate is absolutely here. That is blockchain. What does that mean? So Estate X, which we've talked about on another one of our rental property news blockchain edition shows. EstateX is a platform that lets anyone invest in real estate for as little as $100. We use blockchain technology to fractionalize property ownership, meaning instead of needing hundreds of thousands to buy a whole apartment or building, like with traditional real estate, people can own a small piece of it and still earn a share of the rental income or capital appreciation. So the best way I like to describe this is basically a lower valued syndication open to global open to the globe, open to anyone on planet Earth, anywhere, anytime, buying a piece. Fractionalized means a piece. That's what syndication did, but they didn't have a way to make their accounting in a public ledger, which would allow it to open up to the globe. That's what blockchain can do. It's an open ledger that allows accounting to be done simply and easily and with lots of transparency. So that allows real estate to be sold for $100 easily, like a token, okay, like literally a piece, a coin. It's exciting time to be alive in this golden age, and that is how you can buy fractional real estate on this site, EstateX. I'm not advertising for them. I don't know much about them, but this is just what the article mentioned. You could go to EstateX.eu. And check it out. We've already watched this little video on another one of our rental property use. Okay. So, hey, if that's your path, that's your path. Again, not every investment is for everyone, but every investment is for someone. And why the market is opening up for first-time landlords. Chris Blewett, head of intermediary distribution at Darlington Building Society, says the role of the landlord is evolving and explains why this shift presents a real opportunity for brokers. He's also, I believe, in the United Kingdom. And he says first-time landlords are emerging as a dynamic force in property market, with affordability pressures making homeownership increasingly difficult. Many aspiring buyers are turning to buy-to-let, which is rental property, as their first route on the property ladder. And yeah, I think there's an opportunity in the UK, and I think there's an opportunity in the United States. MoneyWise, had someone write in. I don't even know if MoneyWise has real people. I always think sometimes they're all just some kind of advertisement. But this thing said, I'm 28, recently married with zero debt. I've always wanted to own a house, but the market seems so lousy right now. Is it smarter to invest in the S&P 500 and save while renting for now? Well, I would first tell her to go look at the S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller U.S. National Home Price Index on the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. Okay, that's where I would first point her to if I were answering this question. But let's see what people said that were actually answering the question. She's recently married with her longtime boyfriend, Ben. Okay, they've been careful with their money as a couple, stacking a monthly budget and saving 15% of their salaries. They even went with a small wedding. They want to start a family and they don't want to rent. But since current home prices and mortgage rates are lousy, I would watch your language there. She's wondering if it makes more sense to just rent, okay, and invest. So, okay, the article basically says, I'm just going to go ahead and summarize, because there are pros and there are cons in every situation and in every market. But the bottom line says it's a highly personal decision, and yet there's no right answer. For Jamie and Ben, wanting to raise kids in a home they own may outweigh the desire to wait out the housing market. And that's just the truth. And I believe that this is pretty much the answer. It's a highly personal decision to pretty much every question, just like the ones Jess Breed was trying to answer. Because it is personal, and every situation is unique. That's why it's important to get qualified for your individual wants and needs, okay? For someone to discern what your willingness and ability is so they can help build a custom portfolio to you. And in our wonderful financial father, Warren Buffett, said he called his $31,500 home his third best investment after his wedding rings, but admitted he would have made far more money if he rented. And the article goes on to say that money, he said, I would have made more money had I instead rented and used the purchase money to buy stocks, he admitted. For the $31,500 I paid for our home, my family and I gained 52 years of terrific memories and much more to come. He also says that Warren Buffett claims that market volatility is really nothing, says Berkshire Hathaway has crashed 50% many times. Short-term turbulence in stock market can be enough to make novice investors nauseous, but veterans like Warren Buffett remain unfazed. And yes, he's talking about stocks, but it's a metaphor for all investments that have value, which is always rental property, because it always goes up and to the right. And just like the stock market, always up and to the right. So in order, let's see here. Yes. And so our next article is from PRNewsWire.com. It says the REIT market, which stands for Real Estate Investment Trust, REIT, it's an acronym, market to grow by $350 billion from 2024 to 2028, an increase in global demand for warehousing and storage facilities, boasts the market report on AI's impact in market landscape, according to Technavio. Okay. So by the way, you know, you might be saying, well, why do I not really know about REITs? Well, they're traded on the stock exchanges. It's a tangible, it's kind of like going back to this blockchain article. You see, tokenization is sort of like a global accounting ledger that is sort of like what a REIT is doing. Because when a REIT, a real estate investment trust, a hedge fund, or something goes and buys some kind of real estate asset, they charge you and sell you a share of that. And then the exchange or the custodian of the exchange keeps the accounting of that. Well, blockchain is replacing the custodian. It's the custodian now. It's the thing that's going to be the custodian of the fractionalized property, the REIT, sort of the syndicated piece of a real estate asset, a piece of the whole. Okay. So there are some similarities. This, I think, in an easy way to explain it, blockchain offering tokenization is just a a 2025 disruption of a REIT. It's a 2025 disruption in a globalization offering of a syndicated real estate asset. But that's why you might not have heard of them, because they've been around a long time. But when you hear blockchain tokenization of real estate assets, in a way, it's like what a REIT has done, because there's nothing new under the sun. It's just repurposed, rebranded, disrupted. A new element is offered to it, which reinvents it and gives it a new twist. But everything is the same. There is nothing new under the sun. So just remember that. And that's why we're talking about REITs, because it looks like there is an opportunity in warehouse and storage facilities, according to Technovio, which is a, it basically does market research. Okay, so there's their website. And again, you might not have heard of REITs or thought about warehouse and storage facilities, just like you might have never heard about the Mona Lisa, unless something on this history, August 21st, 1911, the little known painting was stolen from the wall of the Louvre in Paris, and a legend was born. Okay, now a theft that made the Mona Lisa a masterpiece. You see, you wouldn't have known maybe about the Mona Lisa unless this event happened. Maybe you wouldn't know about the new version of REITs unless blockchain happened. You wouldn't know about syndication unless blockchain offered it to you in a minute, low monetary way on a global scale. Who knows? Because apparently the Mona Lisa wasn't that popular before it got stolen, my dear friends. Famous overnight, this article says, before its theft, the Mona Lisa was not widely known outside the art world. Leonardo da Vinci painted it in 1507, but it wasn't until the 1860s that critics began to hail it as a masterwork of Renaissance painting. And that judgment didn't filter outside a thin slice of French intelligentsia. The Mona Lisa wasn't even the most famous painting in its gallery, let alone in the Louvre, Zug says. Dorothy and Tim Hobler wrote about the painting's heist in their book, The Crimes of Paris, and it was 28 hours, they say, until anyone even noticed the four bare hooks where the painting hung. The guy who noticed was a pushy still life artist who set up his easel to paint the gallery at the Louvre. He felt he couldn't work as long as the Mona Lisa wasn't there, Tom Hobler said. But the artist wasn't alarmed. At the time, there was a project underway to photograph the Louvre mini works. Each piece had to be taken down to the roof. So finally, he persuaded the guard to see how long the photographers were going to have the painting. Then when he came back, he said, wait a minute, they don't have it. Then they realized it was stolen. After the Louvre announced the theft, newspapers all over the world ran headlines about the missing masterpiece. 60 detectives seek stolen Mona Lisa, French public indigent. The New York Times declared the heist had become something of a national scandal. In France, there was a great deal of concern that American millionaires were buying up the legacy of France, the best paintings, Dorothy Hobler said. At one point, American tycoon and art lover J.P. Morgan was suspected of commissioning the theft. Pablo Picasso was even considered a suspect and was questioned. As the tensions were escalating between France and Germany ahead of World War I, there were people who thought the Kaiser was behind it. After a week-long shutdown, the Louvre reopened to mobs of people, France coffee among them, all rushing to see the empty spot that had become the mark of shame for Parisians. A masterpiece returned 28 months, almost a little over 2 years after he snatched it from the Louvre. The Perugia finally made a pass at selling the Mona Lisa. Perugia was the guy that stole it to an art dealer in Florence, but the dealer was suspicious. He had the head of an Italian art gallery come take a look at the painting. A stamp on the back confirmed its authenticity. They said, okay, leave it with us and we'll see you get a reward, Tom Hobler said. Perugia went back home, but half an hour later, to his surprise, the police were at his door. He said later that he was trying to return to Italy and that he was the patriot. It was stolen by Napoleon. It was trying to return it to the land of his birth, to Italy. After so much fanfare, the painting was returned to the Louvre. Perugia pleaded guilty to stealing it and was sentenced to just 8 months in prison. But a few days after his trial, Dorothy Hobler says, World War I broke out and suddenly the drama of the art heist was off the front pages. And it seemed like a very small story. If you like this story and you want to learn more, you can watch on YouTube The Man Who Stole the Mona Lisa and Hid It for 2 Years by Best Documentary. Because again, in order to prepare for our future, we must first learn about the past. Are there things that you might not know of because they haven't been reported on yet? Or conversely, is the Mona Lisa only famous because the press told you it was? Or there was a scandal that put it in everybody's mind and made it popular? Who defines what the most famous painting on earth is? Well, clearly the heist had a shape of the story that I bet you didn't know. I know I didn't. So my dear friends, no matter what path you choose to do, whether you focus on what Jaspreet says about crime, flow of money and city laws, or global perspective like Chris Dietz gives us, or looking at the United States rental residential property market analysis of 2025, or not, my friend, as long as you get ahead, because the key to getting ahead is getting started, and you commit, which means you don't give up, and you play the long game, which means that you do this at least 10 years or more, it's going to work out. How do I know? I'm living proof. And so are many of my clients I've had the pleasure of helping build their portfolios with over the last 23 years. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this show of Rental Property News. We'll see you next time.